So today, we're wrapping up our God Is series. Next week, we're going to start Christmas. Next week. But as we're wrapping it up, we're going to talk about love today. And as we all know, the English word love has many meanings. You can say, and I can say this to this crowd, I love my pet rock. And everyone would know exactly what a pet rock is. Anybody not know what a pet rock is? Anyhow, you could say, I love my pet rock, or I love my job, or I love any inanimate object that can't love you back. We can say that. Or we can say, I love my best friend. And the love there has a totally different meaning than I love my pet rock. Or I love my brother, or I love my sister, or I love my children, or I love my husband or my wife. And each one of those might have a different meaning altogether in the word love. Back in the days of Jesus, the Greek language had a number of different words for love. They didn't just go, this is it. This is the word for love. They had a number of different words, such as the Greek word philia, which means a close friendship or a brotherly love. Philia is the most general form of love in the Bible. It's an encompassing love for fellow humans. It's a great affection, care, or loyalty towards someone. And then there's the Greek word eros. Eros is the physical, sensual intimacy between a husband and wife. Although eros does not appear in the New Testament, this Greek term for erotic love is portrayed in the Old Testament book of the Song of Solomon. Another Greek word which is probably the most common Greek word that you could possibly know is agape. Most of us would say, "Ah, yeah, we know that Greek word agape." See, agape love is selfless, sacrificial, or unconditional. It is the highest form of love. The Greek word agape and its variations is in the New Testament over 200 times. When we talk, when we're talking in our series, God Is, and when we're talking God Is Love, we're talking about agape love. We're not talking about any other kind of love. When you associate God with love, it's agape love. It's that selfless, sacrificial, and unconditional love. So let's look at that truth. God is love. Let's listen to 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 and 8. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. John uses agape, love, the word agape, and its forms five different times in these two verses, five different times. God's love didn't begin at the time He created heaven and earth and you and me. His love didn't begin then. See, God's love has always been. God didn't go, well, I think I'm going to start loving now. As God is eternal, so is love, because God is love, and love is God. I mean, the two are intermeshed. They're saturated together. God is love, which means his whole character, everything he stands for, is saturated with the incredible highest form of love. John actually says that love comes from God. Not only is God love, this agape love, but he is the source of that love. Anytime we hear of agape love in the world, anytime we hear of that sacrificial, unconditional love happening in the world, it comes from God. Let me try and explain. I think I've used this illustration before, but when I was a teenager, I was involved in trafficking in marijuana. My parents at the time were not believers. My mom believed in God, but she didn't have that real close relationship with Jesus. My dad, he wasn't a Christian at all. Anyhow, as I was trafficking, I got caught by the RCMP, and it brought shame on our family. My parents hated what I had done. Yet, my parents never stopped loving me. And that is agape love. And I believe that God put that agape love in them for such a time as that for me. He knew that I needed that unconditional, sacrificial love. And he placed it in them, even though they weren't serving him at the time. Have you ever done something stupid? No, not, sorry. I forgot who I was talking to. But, you know, have we ever done something stupid, silly, ridiculous, and a person has forgiven us unconditionally? Hasn't said, well, you need to do this and this and this, and then I'll forgive you. No, Dave, but it's that unconditional love, that sacrificial love that God places in people to extend out to us, to other people. I really believe that agape love comes from God and God alone. I don't think we as humans are really able in our own strength to have that real agape love. Agape love, the truest, the most purest form of love, originated in God, and he is the source of that love because God is love. So John has declared that God is the originator and the source of love. And then he goes on and he says, let me explain what this love really is like. And in 1 John chapter 4, verses 9 and 10, we read these words. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love, not that we loved him, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sin. See, verse 10 explains, John explains, this is love. In other words, if you really want to know what agape love is, what this sacrificial, unconditional love is, this is it. God sent his one and only Son as a sacrifice for us, for our sins, that we could live that we could become part of His family. He gave the payment for our sins. God did this all. Why? Because we are great people and we love Him with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength? Not. Well, maybe He did it because we love Him just a little bit. No. That's not what John says. That's not what the Bible says. John infers that we did not love God. In fact, the Bible tells us that we were enemies with God. We were alienated from God. Yet, that didn't stop God, who is the originator and the source of agape love, from sending His Son to pay the cruel penalty for our sins, for my sins. His agape love was sent. Listen to Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 to 3. Once you were dead because of your disobedience and your many sins, you used to live in sin, just like the rest of the world, obeying the devil, the commander of the powers in this unseen world. He is the spirit at work in the hearts of those who refuse to obey God. All of us used to live that way, following the passionate desires and inclinations of our sinful nature. By our very nature, we were subject to God's anger, just like everyone else. Paul paints a pretty powerful picture of what we were like before we came to Him, before we experienced this agape love. He says we're all like this. He says we were all really messed up and really deserved God's anger to be poured out upon us. That's what we really deserve. Yet John said that God pushed all that aside and poured out His love, His agape love, upon us. In Ephesians chapter 2, verses 4 and 5 reveals, but because of His great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in our transgressions. You see, Paul wrote in Romans as well, God demonstrated His own love for us in this. Jesus died for us while we were still sinners. God's love. God is love. He did not hide it. He didn't keep it to Himself. He didn't look down and say, oh, Scott, you're such a horrible sinner. I'm not gonna give you any of my love. He didn't do that. He came and looked at the sin of the world and He extended His love to each and every person. Not one person in this entire world is exempt from the love of God that is extended to them. He reveals it, explains it through His example of loving us selflessly, sacrificially, and unconditionally. But that's not the end of agape love. It's not just poured out upon us so we could be right with our Heavenly Father and just live in our little world. It doesn't end there. There's more. Have you ever wondered why we have contact with certain people? Why are people put into our lives? You know, why do they just show up in our lives? We were going on a canoe trip around Bowron Lakes. Before we left, we were at the starting place, and you have to check in there. And before we left, Kathy met this mother, and she had two daughters with her, and one of the daughters had a girlfriend with her. So there's four ladies canoeing together. They wound up camping beside us on our third night. We had pulled in, set up camp. They had pulled in and set up camp beside us. The next day we were up early, and you can imagine how long it takes four women to get ready to go canoeing. Anyhow, the next morning we were up early and we were gone, and we were paddling down the lake, and mid-afternoon we got to where we were going to camp the next night, and so we set up camp, and lo and behold, these ladies come in and they set up camp beside us. Well, the next day we're up early again, and we're the start of the next day was a long portage. And so we were portaging our equipment through, and we had to make several trips back and forth through, and it was pretty muddy. And when we were coming back for our last load, we noticed that the ladies were struggling in the mud with their canoes and gear. So my son and myself and Kath, we helped them get their stuff portaged through the mud and to the landing where to the next lake. And we left quickly. I said to Kath, "Quick, get in the canoe. We're out of here." So we took off and we got to our next campsite. And yeah, you guessed it. They showed up there and they camped beside us. And in fact, now there was a couple that camped the night before, and they were there too as well. And my attitude was not very good. I just wanted to be on holidays with my family. I wasn't interested in other people. I don't mind talking to them a little bit, but I wanted to be with my family. And my attitude wasn't very good. And really, God spoke to me, and he said, "Go get your Bible, go to the beach, and read your Bible." And in fact, he said, "Read 1 John, because when you get back to the church, you're doing a sermon series on 1 John, so start reading it." Well, we've just read a little bit today. But if you read 1 John, it's all about love. And as I sat down to read, God revealed to me that I was to be loving these people with his love and not trying to run away from them. The rest of the story is they camp beside us every night till the end. And it was okay. It was good, actually. But do you ever wonder why God puts people like that in your path? Well, we got to share the gospel with them around a campfire. All of them, both sets of campers, the next night. In 1 John chapter 4, verses 11 and 12 tells us, "Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is made complete in us." John's inferring here that because of this incredible agape love which God has poured out on us, we should be overflowing with it to others. In other words, that agape love should just be a natural byproduct in our lives to love others. We should just want to give it away to others. This love we are to share with those around us is not a noun. It's not like a badge and say, see, here's my love. You see it? No. In fact, every time John talks about us loving one another, he uses it as a verb, to love, to do something, to have an action. It's easy to say, I love God. You can go out in the street and do a survey, and there'll be lots of people who will say, I love God, or I love Jesus. But how do you know? John says we show our love to God by loving others. It is loving, first of all, the family, the brothers and sisters of God. And then it is loving those outside the church, those we come in contact with on a daily basis. That agape love should be in us and to a point where it's overflowing to those around us. You see, it's being there. It's coming alongside somebody when they're hurting and encouraging them. It's coming alongside somebody when they're doing great and saying, wow, that's great. You're doing amazing. It's being there. It's not judging. It's not saying, you need to do it this way. You need to get rid of that. It's encouraging them on their walk and their faith with Jesus. And if they're not there yet, it's just encouraging them in life so you can draw them along to that place. See, agape love is a verb and love is action. Listen to how Paul describes it in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, starting at verse 4. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It is not rude. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no records of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices in the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. Those are all actions. They're all things we need to do. We need to be patient. We need to be kind. We need to not envy or boast or be proud. Those are actions. People can see those things. It keeps no record of wrongs. It does not judge. And Paul doesn't say, well, if you keep four out of those, that list there, then you're doing good, you're okay. No, he's saying this is what love is. And you can place God in there. God is patient. God is kind. He does not envy. He does not boast. He is not proud. He is not rude. He is not self-seeking. He is not easily angered. Thank you, Lord. He keeps no records of wrongs. Thank you. God does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. God always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. God never fails. Thank you, God, that you're all those things and not just part of them, or we would be in big trouble. In other words, to love someone is an active experience. Whether it's driving someone to where they need to go, whether it's helping them with something, or whether it's just being there to give a hug to someone, or to sit with someone as they're lonely or in pain. John said in 1 John chapter 4, verse 12, "No one has ever seen God. But if we love one another, God lives in us, and His love is made complete in us. When we love others with agape love, with the actions, God lives in us. And those we are loving and others will see God," in a sense. Not that we are God, but they will see God. Do your good works so they can give your Father in heaven glory. God's agape love is complete when we are sharing it with those around us. God pours His love into us, and we need to pour that love out to others. It's a complete circle. It's come full circle. And that's why John says here, God's love is made complete in us when we're loving others. God is love. He is the originator and source of agape love. Love that is selfless, sacrificial, and unconditional. John explains that incredible love to us. He said it was through Jesus coming and dying for our sins so we could be forgiven. God loved us that much. We learn to love because God first loved us. While we were still sinners, God loved us. He didn't say, "Go get cleaned up, Scott, and then I'll love you." Because He knew He would wait a long time. We show love to our brothers and sisters in the Lord, and also we allow our love to flow to those outside the church. And if you think John's a little off his rocker, listen to what he says in John chapter 13, verses 34 and 35, as he's quoting what Jesus said. "A new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, you must love one another. As I have poured my love into you, make it complete by loving one another. By this, all men will know that you are my disciples if you love one another." Again, it's all agape. By this, God's love is made complete. God is love. Love comes from God, and love leads back to God. May we be people who are filled with love, that will draw other people to God because of our actions, our agape love that God has put in us. May we let it overflow to others. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, this has been a good series just to learn about who you are, that you are the Father, and that you are love. And Lord, we thank you for that love. We thank you for that love. And God, without that love, we wouldn't even be here today. And we ask that you would continue to fill that love in us, Father, that we would reveal how much we love you by sharing that love with those around us. We thank you that we can be your ambassadors of love to our communities, to our world. We thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.